girls do to me.
Tell you before I start, I don't preach here very often. I don't preach at all very often like I used to when I was pastoring, but I prayed about what I should preach on this morning, and the Lord gave me a message. Now, it's let me tell you in advance, it's kind of a smorgasbord type of message, which means, you know how a smorgasbord, you go and you pick and pick and pick and pick. So I think there's something for everyone. Again, I'm not sure why this is the passage the Lord wanted me to use, but it is, and so we're going to deliver God's message. Again, a pastor is a messenger of the Lord, and it's always important to realize, thus saith the Lord, this is God's word. And so that's what we're trying to do today, and whatever your need is, I trust that God would meet that need. Let's ask the Lord to bless us as we begin. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach the word. You told us, Lord, to do that, to preach the word for Pastor Tim and his messages every week that challenges us. Now we are here today under a different canopy of methods and message, but Lord, I pray that you will speak to every heart. And Lord, may we open ourselves to you. And may the Spirit of God speak to us today, whatever the need may be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's a man by the name of Vinko Bogeta. I probably mispronounced that name, but he was from a little village in Yugoslavia. Vinko was a fellow that learned to ski at an early age, and he became very community rallied. It was a small village, but they they said, there's our man. And so they encouraged Vinko to continue practicing. And one day they heard of a meet that was called the Ski Flying World Championship in Oberstdorf, West Germany, which is now Germany. And they said as a community, let's send Vinko to this championship. Just think what this could mean to our community, our little gathering. And so they did, and Vinko went to the world championship. On his third trip down the slope, down the ski ramp, he had noticed that the weather had changed, and the ramp was now much slicker and much more treacherous than it had been before. And as he started down, and he went almost a third of the way down, he realized he was in trouble. He tried to adjust his balance, but failed. As a result, he went off the end of the ramp, tumbling head over heels, went into the crowd, through the gates, and there he was. Disappointed? Yeah. But it was worse. He didn't know, but there was a film crew from the United States that was there filming this venture of Vinko, not realizing what was happening. They took the film back to the United States, put it together, and every week from that point on, there was a show called Wide World of Sports. Remember that? You remember those famous words that Jim McKay would say? The thrill of victory. And then they showed Vinko's face and the agony of, wow. He was discouraged. He said, oh my, I can imagine. He went back home and now he had to face the villagers. Vinko never skied again because of the agony of defeat. I suppose we've been there in some form or another, probably not like Vinko, but we've had our agonies of defeat. This morning I'm telling you about a man in the Bible whose name is Jeremiah. You know him. Jeremiah was a man that was a prophet of God. A prophet was one who spoke for God the word. He went to the people. He was engaged in ministry for 22 years. He was prior to what was called the Babylonian captivity, which took place in about 605 BC. He went out to the people and told them that God was going to judge, and he was very engaged in telling the people, you need to understand what God's going to do. Chapter 25 of our book of Jeremiah this morning, I want you to notice these words. I'm reading them from the NIV. For 23 years from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. This is thematic. This is the way Jeremiah was feeling. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not arouse my anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you, God says. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord, and you have aroused my anger with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. Therefore, the Lord God says this, notice it, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. That was the message that Jeremiah had been speaking for 22 years. Now, it's interesting that we find in chapter 17 that he was bringing summation to what he had said. He talked about the fact that you should not fail the Lord. And he came to the end of chapter 17. I want you to notice this, because in chapter 17, then comes chapter 18. Chapter 18, God says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. Let me stop there for a moment. Now think about this. Jeremiah has been engaged in preaching and ministry and all those kind of things. And all of a sudden God says, wait a minute, Jeremiah, just stop for a minute. Hold it. I want you to do something for me. I want you to see something. Have you ever been there? You know, you're just so busy and engaged and doing, and God says, wait a minute, just stop. I want to teach you something. The other day, I was having some medical issues, and I wasn't feeling too well, and I knew I was going to be preaching this today, be preaching, and I don't know, I was kind of exasperated, to be honest with you. I just listened to the weatherman. Shouldn't have done that. He said, well, folks, winter's back. I said, okay, Wednesday, I'll give it to you. Thursday, okay. He said, it's going to go all the way through the weekend. It's going to get bad. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, nobody's going to show up. I mean, I'm preaching. I get to preach every once in a while, and nobody's going to show up. I was feeling really badly and sorry for myself. And, you know, that's just one of those kind of days. I know. So here's what happened. I walked out to the mailbox, and on my way back in my misery and looking at the weather and listening and thinking about all this, all of a sudden I hear this sound. It's a bird chirping in the tree. Well, my favorite bird, I must admit, is the... And he was up there in that tree, chirping his heart out and saying, Jerry, look at me. And I did. I went and told Susan, I said, you're not going to believe it. There's that cardinal out there, and he's just making a melody that will touch your heart. Now, okay, it's just a bird, but it spoke to my heart. And it said, you know what? God's in charge of this. You know, it's not your business. It's going to happen. You're going to be okay. And sure enough, everything's... Well, that's kind of how Jeremiah was. He was having this agony of defeat. And so the Lord said, I want you to arise. And by the way, yeah, I'm going to use my... Listen, this is the King James. There's one change I want to make. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying... Now, notice this word. He says, arise. Now, that's not up here. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my word. He says, Jeremiah, I want you to get up. Basically, he says, and I must admit, Jeremiah must really have been down, because God says, you need to get up, arise. He said, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I want you to see something. I want to talk about the potter. Interesting, as we think about the potter, he was a man engaged in many activities. It was quite an event to be a potter. He was a craftsman. He had a wheel. It was horizontal. He had a pedal that made it work. And then he had clay. He placed that clay on the wheel, made the wheel go around, began to form whatever he wanted formed. You see him there. His hands are touching the clay. He makes something usable, because after he's finished, there's going to be a vase or a container, a water jug, whatever it might be, but it's going to be something that's usable after he's finished with it. And so Jeremiah says, well, I'm going down to the potter's house. I'm going to go down there. Now, can you imagine it? I mean, think about it. Why would God want me to go down to the potter's house? I mean, he's just a craftsman. He's doing his thing. And I've been to the potter's house before. But God said, wait a minute, Jeremiah, stop what you're doing. I want you to go down to the potter's house. Now, we're going down to the potter's house this morning, and I want to share with you five lessons that I have found, and you may find more, but five lessons that I have found at the potter's house. Here he sets the potter. And so Jeremiah sees him there at the wheel. He's at this moment in time, he's just sitting there. He's looking at that clump of clay. First thing we know about Jeremiah, he noticed that the potter was making his work personal. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. I mean, Jeremiah said, Lord, it's me. You're speaking to me. You want me to go down. That's right, you. Now, let's think for a moment. We are going. You are going. I'm going to the potter's house. It's personal. And notice, he has looked at that clay, because the potter has formed it. He's made the clay what it is. It's consistency. It's all about that, what the potter has done. And in this prophecy that is found in this text, we must mention that, because in verse number 6, the last, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. A prophecy about the place of Israel in God's plan. Here's what I find out from this personal relationship that the potter has with the clay. It's something that he is engaged in personally. He's involved. The potter cares so much about that clay. He's made it what it is. He's made the consistency the way he wants it to be. In Isaiah 64, verse number 8, this is not on the screen. Let me just read it to you. Here's what Isaiah said. He says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. and we are all the work of thy hand. Stop and think about it. He said, God says, I am in picture form the potter. I'm concerned. I care for you. Notice that. I love you. And you realize as we think about this in the engagement of that thought of personal relationship the potter has with the clay, that potter says, you know, I have made you and I am personally involved in you. What does he do? Well, he just takes some dirt. That's all it is. It's just dirt. He adds some water to it, mixes it, he kneads it, he forms it. He gets that consistency that he wants. There's also a lesson about this. Jeremiah saw that the potter had a perception of the clay. I want you to notice it. He's still there looking at that wheel, and he's looking at the clay. There was something that Jeremiah knew from the very beginning. God knew all about him. He knew exactly what was there in Jeremiah's life. As he prepares the wheel, he looks at this clay that's there before him, and he would realize that he handled the clay, that it was malleable, it was formable, it could be treated, it could be handled, it could be used. And so he places it on the wheel. Now, there's a warning here about clay. It can be of any consistency, except it cannot be hardened. You see, if it's hardened, the potter can't do anything with it. It's hard. He can't form anything out of that. He can't make anything out of something that's hardened. Listen, folks, we talk about being personal. Well, it's personal because realize that if a person has hardened their heart, God cannot make of us what he wants to make because we've hardened our heart. In connection, Jeremiah said this in chapter 17, in verse number 9, the heart, he said, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? It's sick. It's desperately wicked. There's only one thing that can be done with hardened clay. It has to be broken, simply put. If you've got a vase, terracotta, let's say, that says it's hard, you know, you can't do anything with it. It has to be hard. It has to be broken. It has to be torn apart, and the hardness has got to be relieved. And so the exchange must take place. That hardness has got to leave. You say, well, how do you know that? How does a person know if their heart is hardened? Let me tell you something. Every Sunday we come in here, we sit and we listen to Pastor Tim preach the word. Now, here's my question. How do you respond? You say, well, that was a good message. I like that. I get tickled sometimes. People, when you preach to somebody, they'll say, well, I really like that joke you told. Well, that's not the point. Did you get the message? Because let me tell you, what he is doing is preaching to the heart. He's trying to reach your heart, but he cannot reach it if it's hardened. It won't work. So you can give yourself the old litmus test. You can say, well, look, let me think about that for a moment. This is personal and it's perceptive. And I look at myself and say, is my heart hardened? Then I have to ask myself, then how is it I respond to what is being preached from God's word? You understand this preaching thing. It's a communication, what God once said to us. It's not an entertainment situation. It's not something that he says, well, I thought that was well delivered. That's not the point. The point is, how is the message received? And somebody says, you know what, preacher, you said something today that touched my heart. Amen. It's like saying, sick them to a dog, you know. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what it's all about. But if your heart is hardened, it can't happen. The potter sits there and he says, I can't do it. I can't make anything out of this. It's hard. But if it's pliable, something can be done. If you're here today and you say, you know, I don't really get much out of the messages. God's not speaking to my heart per se. I can't say that it's been a blessing. Why do you come? You know, what's the point? We don't come to get something from God. And so you say, I think maybe my heart is hardened. That clay that is hardened has to surrender to the potter who will break it and make it and change it and deliver to something. The song says, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender. That's what has to happen. Your heart is, and you know. And then number three, I want you to notice that the potter has a plan. Potter has a plan for the clay. In the potter's mind, he knows what he's going to make. Sometimes he says, well, this is going to be a vase, a very lovely, I'm going to work with it. Sometimes it's going to be a vessel of some other nature. I know, but I know the potter, and you watch him, you say, oh, he knows what he's doing. I have no idea. He knows. And so he starts implementing his. Psalm 33:11 says this, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the purposes of his heart to all generations. Glad to know that the Lord has a plan for our lives. Tell every young person a plan. For you. God has something in mind. His plan is his plan. We're not always aware what it is, but the pliable clay is waiting to be touched. And number four, he notices that the potter had power over the clay. There's the clay on the wheel, and the potter now is behind the wheel, and the potter begins to apply pressure to the clay. And he forms the clay. His power sometimes is difficult for the clay, if we think about it, because it's pressure. You say, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, you know what it has to do. Sometimes pressures of life, sometimes problems, sometimes reversal, sometimes those things that are in our lives that compound and they weigh so heavily. And sometimes we say, why, Lord? And God reminds us his ways are not our way. We also realize that all things do work together to them that love God. And sometimes the pressures are hard to bear, but keep in mind what Jeremiah is watching here. He said, and I'm sure Jeremiah said, Lord, you know how much pressure I mean, you know the problems I'm having, and you know what I've been going through, and you know how I seemingly not getting through to the people, and I feel frustrated. And wait, Lord said, wait a minute. I'm just molding you. I'm putting some pressure on you. Yeah, it was just that master potter in his hand. It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought, it's hardly worth the while to waste his time on this old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What my bid? Good people, he cried. What? Who starts the bidding for me? $1, who will make it two? $2, who will make it three? $3, once, $3, twice, going for three. But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the strings, he played a melody, pure and sweet as the angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what now? What now is my bid for this old violin, as he held it up with the bow? 1,000. Do I hear two? 2,000. Who makes it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The audience cheered. I mean, but some of them cried, we just don't understand. What changed its worth? Swift came the reply. Listen to the touch of the master's. Many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardships, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone, but the master and the foolish crowd never quite understand the worth of a soul, the change that's brought by the touch of the master's. Yeah, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had prepared in advance. Sometimes he pushes hard. Sometimes it's seemingly all right, and things are going well as we spin on that wheel of life. And yet we realize we are what we are because we can be touched by the master's hand. And let me go back again. You say, preacher, I don't find God's touching my life. Wait a minute. How's the condition of the heart? Again, if it's hardened, he can't do this. The touch of the master's. The last thing I want to tell you about is this. Is Jeremiah looks. He looks at that potter of the wheel and sees that something's beginning to form. The potter saw Jeremiah saw that the potter was patient. I mean, it didn't happen all overnight. I mean, it was a long duration that he touched and he moved and spun that wheel around and put his hands on places that needed to be touched. But now I want you to notice this. And the vessel that he made, verse number 4, of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. It wasn't perfect. It was blemished. He uses the word marred or spoiled or disfigured. There was something there, something in the clay, something he didn't see from the onset. But it was Jeremiah noticed. He said, hey, Mr. Potter, the clay is marred. You know what I believe the potter said? He said, Jeremiah, it's okay. It's not hardened. It's just marred. He said, well, preacher, what's that mean? That means the potter says, hey, that's okay. I can do something. He said, I can take that blemish. I can get that rock. That's whatever. I can take care of that. I can remove it. The plan's still good. Plan's still good. I'm still going to make something good out of the lump of clay. Here's what I want you to note. You may be here today and say, well, preacher, my heart's not hardened, but you know, I'm not what I ought to be. We're not perfect. Hey, folks, there is none here that's perfect. He said, but I've got some things in my life that I ought not to have there. Okay, so the potter would say, you're marred, or you've got some problems. So I can notice this, please. He says he was marred in the hand of the potter. He was marred even though he was there and as the hands of the potter were on him. He's still okay. Because you see, the potter can do something. Times we say, well, you know, I mean, if it was me, I'd say, oh, I don't want that clay. I'm going to throw that one away. Not the potter. The potter says, no, it's marred. He's in my hand. Folks, let me tell you, if you're saved today, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, you say, look, I put my faith in Christ, but I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not what I ought to be. Some things in my life, yeah, you could call them. Yeah, my life may have some things that I ought to deal with it, and the potter's speaking to me about that. I have a verse for you. Found in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. Written to believers, if we confess our sin, he, the potter, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, that's how the potter deals with it. I'm going to take that all, that sin, that thing that's corrupting the formation of a life, if you please. Because, listen, he's in my hand. You know what? The devil will trick you to believe and to hear this, that the devil will make you think, you know, God's done with me. I'm no good. I've made a mistake. I've failed. I've done this. I've done that. Whatever the case may be. Listen, if you're in the hand of the potter, the plan is good. But I've got to deal with the problem. We have to deal with the fault. Lord, I'm not telling you, but I can tell. I'm agreeing with you. That's what the word confess means. I'm agreeing with you, Lord. I've got some mistakes in my life. I've made some wrong choices. I've done some wrong things. And Lord, I'm not worthy to be made what you want made on the wheel. But Lord, I'm willing to take the pressures of your master's hand and remove that and make me what I ought to be. Because Lord, according to the Bible, you're not finished with me yet. I like this in chapter 17, we just read about the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Verse 14, Jeremiah says, the Lord says, heal me, O Lord, I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved, for thou art my prey. Jeremiah is saying, here's what God says. The heart is deceitful above all things. Yeah, it's really wicked. But God is our resource. You see, if the clay, now you say this is really ridiculous, I know that. The clay would speak, you'd say, well, I'm on the wheel. Potter's got his hands on me. The potter has a plan for my life. Yeah, I made my mistake, but God's not finished. Proverbs 25, it says, remove the dross. You see, in silver preparation, for example, silver, they take a raw product that says there's silver in here, but they heat it to an intense degree. You know what happens? The impurities come to, it's called dross. Proverbs 25:4 says, remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. Get rid of the dross, and you've got something that's perfect, pure. You got silver, and it can be used. And so the plan continued. I like this. Notice, please. He saw that it was marred in the hand of the potter. In verse 4, notice his words. So he made a wonderful thought. When we're thinking about our life and we say, oh, Lord, I've gone the wrong way. I made the wrong. But God says, listen, let me make it again. Let me make it. He made it. Notice, he says, another vessel as seemed good to the potter. Let me tell you, God isn't finished. You say, preacher, I know, but I've done the wrong things. Listen, if you're saved today, if you know Christ as your Savior, then you say, look, I'm on the wheel. And if he's got a flaw, he's going to make me again. Make us again. Psalm 103:14. Listen, so he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are. He knows all about us. He knows where we're from. He knows out of the dust we came. He knows our frailties. He knows about us. Jeremiah, understand this, that God says to you, you've been at this for 22 years, but he says, I'm not done with you, Jeremiah, and I know you're discouraged, but I want you to know something. Over and superintending everything is the potter, and God is the potter. And he says, I want to make, that's what it's all about. It's the pressures brought to bear. It's all of those things that come to pass. Psalm 85, verse 6 says, Wilt thou not revive us again, that I may rejoice in thee? Revive, make alive, stir us to be what God wants us to be. And I think of the great man of courage. His name was Peter. And Peter said to Jesus one day, he says, Though all things others will forsake you, Lord, I'll never forsake you. And then three times he rejected the Lord. He denied the Lord three times. You say, well, the Lord, Peter, you're done. Peter, Jesus made him again. And I look at my life and I go back and I said, how many times have I failed? And yet I look up and say, realize that he made it again, made me. That's what God does. Maybe you're thinking that same thing today. Maybe you're thinking, Lord, I've made so many mistakes and I need to be made again. And so it's the surrendering comes in. Lord, maybe my heart is, you need to do something with my hard heart. A hard heart has to be broken. You know, in the springtime of the year down the road, farmers will go out into the field. They're going to look at that land, that soil that's been laying dormant now for the last... You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't go out with a bag of seed and throw it on the ground, expect anything to happen. Well, what good does that do? You've got to break up that ground. The Bible talks about fallow ground. It's got to be broken up. And so he goes in and he takes his instruments and his equipment and he breaks up the ground and he stirs it up and he turns it over. He gets it prepared so then he can cast the seed. Listen, we come here every Sunday. We hear God's message. What happens to it? What happens to it? Listen, if Pastor Tim is throwing that seed on ground that's hard, it's not going anywhere. But when we're able to break up that fallow ground, makes a difference. Bill Gaither, he was accompanying his friend who was a preacher. His name was Dr. Dale Oldham. Dr. Oldham from our hometown in Anderson, Indiana. Dr. Oldham was preaching at an evangelistic meeting. On the way to the meeting, on the way back from the meeting, Dr. Oldham was talking to Bill. He said, Bill, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the word touch. He said, it's a very popular word. It comes so often in the New Testament stories about Jesus touching people's eyes and healing them or touching people's lives and changing them. Special spiritual word, Bill. He'd come up with a song about that word. Bill thought about it. He went home and that evening, all night long, he was by his piano. Gloria, his wife, was up the next morning and she went in and there's Bill sitting at the piano and papers strewn all around him. Bill, what are you doing? You haven't slept all night. He said, God's given me a song. The song was given to Dr. Oldham's son, Doug. And Doug, on his first recording, sang the song, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. Now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me. See, that's what God does. You've heard that song before. But it's so fitting that we understand that the hardness of the heart needs to be touched by the Master's hand. It needs to be dealt with. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says this, It is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not as in the rebellion. Hebrews 4, 7 says, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. There's a very similar theme floating through those two. You know what it is? Hear his voice. Say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Jeremiah says, I believe this is not for just the people of Israel, but it's for me, Jeremiah. It's my message. It's your message. Here's the voice. Jesus says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you. The idea of submitting. In 1902, a lady by the name of Adele Ed Pollard was hoping to go to Africa on a missionary journey, but found that she was unable to raise the needed funds and was a little discouraged. What was she going to do now? She attended a prayer service, and while she was there, she listened, and some ladies were talking, and one woman said, It really doesn't matter what you do with us, Lord, just have your own way with our lives. Pollard went back and wrote those words, Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'm just the clay. Mold me and make me while after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me. Try me, Lord, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence. So Jeremiah visited the potter's house. Jeremiah, what did you think about that? I don't know if Jeremiah said this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I believe Jeremiah said, man, I'm glad I went. I mean, I needed that. I needed that. I needed to go to the potter's house. Folks, sometimes we need to go to the potter's house. I need to see what he's doing on that. And I look at that vase of, or that clump of clay, and I said, yeah, that's me on there. Sometimes he puts a little more pressure on there that I think, oh, I'm going through a lot of travail. Sometimes things are going all right on the wheel. But it's wonderful to know that he's touching our life. He touched me. Has he touched you? Are you where God wants you to be? You see, you're only one of three things. You're either hardened your heart, or you're marred, or you're seeking God's plan. If you're hard in your heart, you gotta let somebody deal with it. That's got to be dealt with. You cannot continue on with a hardened heart. If it's marred, you see, God says, I want you to deal with that as well. Just forsake sin. Get right with God. Get in church. Come back every week. Jeremiah would say, you know, I had no idea when I went to the potter's house why I was going there. Let me suggest something very quickly. When you walk through these doors Sunday morning, you really don't know what you're going to get when you come, do you? But I'll tell you right now, speaking for Pastor Tim, you're going to get God's Word. What God has for you and me today. You say, I don't know why I came today. I do. The smorgasbord is there, isn't it? I can pick what I need. I know that I need this. I know that I need this. But if not, you say, well, I'm glad to know that I'm in His hand. And He is watching over. He's caring for me all along the way. Folks, the Bible says, today, hear my voice. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Listen, Billy Sunday preached a message one Sunday morning. Billy Sunday was an old-time preacher. Every Sunday he said, you know, folks, you need to get right with God today. But on this particular occasion, he thought, well, I'm not going to say that today. I'll just told him, I want you to think about what I said, and next week I want you to come back, and if God's speaking in your heart, I want you to get right with God, and he went on that way. That was on Sunday. That was in Chicago. That next week, there was a fire in Chicago. You may have heard about it. Destroyed the city. Billy Sunday said, I'll never do that again, because those people never got back together. There was not a next Sunday. Now, you say, I'm planning to be here next week. I praise the Lord, you are. But listen, you cannot delay this decision. Today is the day of salvation. If you say, preacher, I'm not sure, then you need to get sure. You need to make it right with God. You need to settle it today. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you a question while you're thinking about it. I don't know your heart. You know it. God knows it. You say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'd like to remember you in the closing prayer. I'm not going to mention my name. I just like to remember to pray for you if you have a need. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? I pray, Lord, as we gather this morning and as we bring this message to a close, that, Lord, as you've brought Jeremiah to the potter's house, you brought us there also. And, Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that's hardened their heart and said, Lord, I'm turning away. Or they've got that problem in their life that needs to be addressed. Would you speak to them now? And I'm just going to ask, if God's speaking to your heart, would you just raise your hand? Just remember you to cross this building. You say, I'm not what I ought to be. I need the touch of the Master's upon my life. I'm not going to remember you by name. I see that. Lord, meet that need. Meet the need of everyone here. And thank you, Lord, that you care enough for us. Touch our lives. Make us what you would have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.